Hi, and welcome to this episode of Retain FM. My name is Pete, and today I want to talk to you about building trust factors into your marketing. You see, building trust with potential customers is one of the pieces of the jigsaw that can switch them from making that purchase or that inquiry with you into sending them to a different competitor of yours, and then they get the sale or the inquiry. It's also one of the things that's hardest to achieve, as it's the emotive part of the marketing funnel, and that makes it really difficult to measure or quantify. So how do you go about creating these trust factors in your marketing or sales process, and what are the best trust building tactics for you to use? Well, before I get into that, let's just answer this question first. Why do we need trust factors in our marketing strategy at all? You see, back in the day when people actually went into shops and services were found in places like the Yellow Pages, the majority of everyday business happened through referrals or word of mouth. And then sometimes this was supported by print or radio and television advertising, and that was kind of that. But in today's world, we can buy almost anything we want from the comfort of our own home, and we don't need to talk to people or do our due diligence and research. All of a sudden, that has become the responsibility of the marketer rather than the consumer. Also, it's never been easier to compare products or services or even entire companies than it is today. And in doing so, potential customers often become armchair experts and don't necessarily realize that they might not be comparing things like for like. They may not be comparing apples with apples. It's therefore of paramount importance that as a business, we build trust factors into our marketing and reintroduce that personal clarity back to the potential customer so that they know that you are the right solution for them. A marketing guru in our space, Roger Edwards, has a brilliant talk on this, explaining how essentially marketing in today's world is broken, except when it is done with integrity and a deep, deep, deep understanding of the customer. And there's a link to one of his talks where he talks about this and the brilliant John the Wine Man in the comments. You see, the thing is, there's at least 10 cornerstones to building trust in any relationship, be it personal or commercial or business or online or offline. These factors never change, and that's because they're personal, they're inside us, inside each and every one of us. And they are, very quickly, truth, communication, respect, consistency, openness, honesty, helpfulness, emotions, morals, and common experiences. And really, all of these values are things that you should carry through your marketing anyway, but how do you include them in a marketing funnel or sales process? So, the best trust-building tactics, what are they? Firstly, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. People are armchair critics, and outlining the scope of your products and services clearly, stating what they do and crucially what they don't do, is a great technique for setting expectations and allowing the customer to make a properly informed decision. Using your experience of others incites that fear of missing out, but also builds confidence that you can deliver. So if you're good at what you do, you have already done it for somebody else, right? So using case studies and testimonials that show that people have already trusted you in the past and that you have delivered results for those customers bridges that gap and starts to alleviate those fears. And case studies are one of the most underused tactics in marketing today. You've already done the hard work once, you've already won a customer and delivered for them and over-serviced and wowed them, so why not let that work now speak for itself? Thirdly, be open and honest about who you are and how you work. You see, for every positive result out there, there's also a horror story somewhere else. And there's this old adage that one positive review leads to 3 new sales, whereas one negative review leads to 10 lost customers. And because of the ease of searching for things online, it's really easy for people to find them. So being open and honest about who you are, where you work, how you deliver, how many people are in your team, if you're, you know, where you're based, all of that kind of stuff, that builds trust, that circumnavigates some of the queries that some people might have about dodgy outsourcing or profit and scarper business practices, and actually starts to make you more human. Fourthly, demonstrating an openness to communicate, to answer questions, will also help alleviate fears. You see, there's hundreds of ways that you can now communicate with people online, whether that's a chatbot or Facebook Messenger or email or scheduling a call. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of ways that you can communicate. Now, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that you try to do all of them, but actually by trying to have multiple channels of communication means that your customer can potentially contact you in a way that is comfortable for them. It's a little bit like, as if you watch Roger Edwards' video above, that it's a bit like John the Wine Man who comes to visit him in his home. As a customer, Roger is then in the comfort of his own surroundings. He feels empowered. So you need to try and replicate that through the channels that you offer communications. And again, I'm not suggesting that you offer every channel, but try and make it more than just one. And finally, remove distractions from the process that you have for converting that traffic. If you've got a new potential customer to the point of making that purchase or that inquiry with you, just allow them to do it. Now's not the time to start bombarding them with pop-ups that come up on the page or alternative information or have you considered this or what about this related product. If they've decided they're going to buy, just let them buy. So finally, how do we apply these tactics into your marketing? Right, well, firstly, reviews and case studies. You've got to make sure that these are up to date. You've got to make sure that you have a regular flow of them to demonstrate that you are... that people are trusting in you over and over and over again. And make sure that they demonstrate the good and the result, but also if there were some challenges or something maybe went a little bit wrong, that needs to be reflected in your reviews and case studies too, to get rid of that "if it's too good to be true, it probably is" type mantra. And make sure that these case studies are then channeled into the points of your process where you know people are going to ask questions. So that could be on service pages or sales pages or partway through your marketing funnel. Send them an email if you have their email address. But make sure that these case studies and reviews are obvious and clear at key decision-making points within your sales process. Social media. Be present and be responsive. There's a key to that. Also, never over-promise, because if you over-promise, all you end up really doing is under-delivering. And then you negate the client expectations. They become a bit underwhelmed. You don't get that case study to help you with your next marketing. And all of a sudden, this lovely sort of self-fulfilling cycle starts to fall apart. So choose the channels that you know you can respond on. And if you can't guarantee a response, then don't use that platform and move on to something else. Or maybe put a message up there that says, you know, "don't contact us on Twitter. Please use our Facebook page," for example. But make sure that you have more than one option available, but only commit to the ones that you know you can respond on. Thirdly, make sure that you do give some element of context and business information about who you are and what you do, because doing this helps you feel more real. It starts to help the user picture who you are and that you have, you know, buildings and offices and lives and families and all of that stuff that basically takes you out from being a commodity and makes you back into a real company. So that might be including your business contact details, or it might be having meet the team pages or personal notes from account managers. It might be even doing like a pre-introduction of, "so here's our account management team. One of these people will be your point of contact." Another point would be maybe video email signatures, where, you know, the email signature is such an underused part of sort of real estate on your screen. So make that interactive. Help make that or use that to help you break down those barriers to and give a real face to who your business is. And then fourthly, make sure that your design is up to date, because your website is often the first place where a user will create their first impression. And what's that old saying? You only get to make a first impression once. So make sure that it isn't a bad impression that they get. Make sure nothing's broken on your website. Make sure that it's easy on the eye, that the user experience has been considered, that the information flows logically, and that if I want to look for something else, I can navigate from A to B without too much effort. Make sure that the hierarchy of your information's right. You know, don't go having some sort of random piece of information in a section that's completely unrelated to it, and make sure that that navigation works, that, you know, if I need to progress from A to B to C, that I can do that. And I've said this before, you mustn't forget that it is your responsibility as the marketer to lead somebody through your sales process. It's not their job to discover how you sell, essentially. So make sure that that's all clearly signposted, and that as people move on to the next phase of your marketing funnel, that it's obvious how to do that. That's also a great thing, because the purpose of your marketing funnel is to make sure that you weed out the people that you're not a good fit for. So you're not trying to get 100% of people from one end of the funnel to the other. What you're trying to do is get the people that are the right fit and the people that you can help the most from one end of the funnel to the other. And those people that don't fit that model, they need to be able to fall out at certain points. And that's how a funnel actually works. It's not really a funnel so much as a sort of controlled colander, but maybe that's not such a great analogy to use. So just to recap, to apply these tactics to your marketing, make sure that your reviews and case studies are active and up to date and reflect the good, the bad, and maybe a little bit of the ugly about what's been going on. Make sure that your social media is present and responsive, and that if you can't be responsive in a particular way, that you offer alternatives. Make sure that you provide some level of business information. Don't egg yourself up to be a multinational incorporation if you're not, but just give some level of business information to give some context to your business. And finally, make sure that your design and your user experience just works, because there's so many places on the internet out there now where it does just work, and if yours doesn't, then a potential customer will just up and leave. I hope you found this episode really useful, and if there's anything else I can help with you in your marketing, please let me know in the comments, and I'd be delighted to know how you include trust-building factors in your marketing funnels. Cheers.